Welcome everybody. I am so excited to be sharing today out of a passage of scripture in Mark chapter 5. One encounter with Jesus. And there was a man who had been isolated, a man who had been possessed. He was set free after one encounter with Jesus. What inspires me the most is what he did after that one encounter. Come on, check this out. I believe it's going to bless you today. Well, I'm going to preach to you today out of the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Let's pray as we come around the word. God, I thank you for your presence and your power that is already here. Lord, your promise is that you inhabit the praises of your people. That God, we've come into your courts with thanksgiving. We've entered these gates with praise. Lord, here we are. So your promise is, your presence is here. Lord, I can even sense it and feel it in this moment. But God, I thank you for each person here today. Lord, the destiny that you have laid up waiting for them, the dreams that you've already dreamt about their future. God, I thank you today as we come around your word. Lord, the word that you have ordained to speak into the middle of people's situations and lives today. God, would you lift us? Would you elevate us? Would you change us? Would you shape us? Would you mold us? God, I thank you that your word never ever returns void. So Lord, today as your word goes out, Lord, would you do all of those things in our life? Would you change us that we would not walk out of here the same way? God, we are expectant. We are hungry. We're full of faith. Lord, we thank you this morning for your powerful word. Somebody with faith this morning, come, would you shout a good amen. 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 Good job, team. Thank you very much. We're gonna share this morning. We're going to come around the word of God out of Mark chapter number 5. Mark 5. And it is going to be on the screen. If you failed to bring your Bible or your holy digital device, you can look at it on the screen. But to set the scene for the story that we will be reading, in Mark, just preceding these verses that we read, Jesus has crossed over a lake. Now, this is not just a tiny little lake like, say, Albert Park Lake. This is a solid body of water. And he has crossed over this. It took him all night with the disciples. He was chilling. He was sleeping. They were freaking out, going through a storm. They woke him up. They thought they were going to die. Jesus speaks to the storm. Bam. Totally stops. And this is where we pick up the story, Mark chapter 5, verse number 1. It says this. It says, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. This was a crazy man. Verse 6, when Jesus was still some distance away, come on somebody, when Jesus showed up, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Keeps going, in the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of this man, you evil spirit. And then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion. Sorry, that's just how I read the story. I scared a few people there. And he replied, my name is Legion because there are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirit begged. Let us enter them. And so Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. What a story. Keeps going. Verse 14, the herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was now sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were amazed. No, they weren't. It says they were afraid. They should have been amazed. They were afraid. It said then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." And so the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone, praise God, was amazed at what he told them. What a crazy story. That's just 20 verses of scripture. That's not much. I know it took us a few minutes to get through that. Are we okay with the word of God this morning? That is a crazy story. But the truth is, it's actually a story. And it's not a metaphor. It's a real story. This happened. But it is also a story of what Jesus wants to do in your life and in my life. Some of you all are saying, "What? You're comparing me to that guy?" You see, what happened with this man is Jesus came from heaven to earth and crossed over the stormy seas just to encounter this one man, to set him free and to deliver him from the things that have bound him up. And isn't that what he does for us? He came from heaven to earth. He can cut through any storm that you may be going through just to deliver you, heal you, save you, set you free. Come on, somebody. That's what he wants to do in our life. If you're waiting for the sermon to start, it just did. This really is what he wants to do in our life. Now, I know that we don't want to be compared to a crazy man like that. I'm looking around this room. I'm not seeing anyone who looks like this. This man was naked out there in the tombs, cutting himself, howling and shrieking, and no one in here is doing that. Praise God. But as crazy as he was on the outside, sometimes we can find ourselves like that on the inside. And we can cover it up and we can hide that from the people around us. But the truth is, as messed up as he was on the outside, sometimes we can find ourselves in a place like that on the inside. And so there's a lot that God can show us from this crazy man's life. And one of the first things that we see about him, one of the first things we know about him when we first meet him in the story, is that he was alone. We find out Jesus lands as a demon-possessed man, and the next fact we find out is that he was alone. He was isolated. Truth is, being isolated, being alone, that's a great place for the devil to torment you. But not only that, not only was he alone, but then we find out that he was alone in the tombs. And you got to understand about Jewish culture, if you touched the graves, if you were around the tombs, you were considered unclean. It was not a place that you would go. And that's what the enemy wants to do to us. When things don't go well in life, when we are down and out, when we mess up, or when we're going well, it doesn't matter. The enemy will try and find an in our life. And if he can get in, he wants to drive us into isolation and into company that is defiling. And this is where we find this man, isolated and alone. That's where the enemy wants to take you. And this, friend, this is not the announcements, by the way. This is just straight up preaching. But this is why church and urban life are so important. Urban life is such a powerful thing to be a part of. I don't want to be isolated. I don't want to be cut off. You know, you can be isolated in the middle of a crowd. You can be all alone and surrounded by people at the same time. And that's why the power of community is so powerful. I grew up with a lot of people, people that are my age, that left church over the years, that went through the same things I went through. But now they're outside of church. I've discovered this, that I've been hurt a lot in church. In fact, I could actually say I've been hurt a lot because of the church. The thing is, now this is not a huge revelation, but for some people it is. The thing is, it's because there's people in the church. And as much as we want to believe people in the church should be perfect, the Bible itself tells us there are no perfect people, even inside church. And so the crazy thing is, people can get upset at situations or circumstances and get hurt by things that happen, and they go outside the church. But guess what? There's people out there too. Just can't escape them. They're everywhere. But what is so powerful about church is while there are people in here, imperfect people, there's also community. There's the presence of God. There's people that can surround us and challenge us. And sometimes we don't like it. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. And maybe I don't get on with you as well as I could have. But in here is the opportunity to be surrounded by people and community and the very things that God would use so we don't find ourselves in isolation, cut off and alone. You see, urban life is so important. I'm not just announcing that. That's preaching. Being in church is so important. And this man found himself isolated and alone. What else? The next thing we read about him is that the people wanted to restrain him, but they couldn't find anything strong enough to bind him up. You see, what did they want to do? They wanted to stop him hurting others. They also wanted to stop him hurting himself. Because sometimes we can get so caught up in our own trouble, we don't even realize that our own actions, they're not just hurting people around us, they're hurting ourselves. But I love this. This man that was so filled with rage, so filled with this demonic oppression. He was so violent and angry. He would not just hurt others. He was cutting himself. What happened is he saw Jesus. Praise God. He saw Jesus. I guarantee you, friend, if you go home, you find every page of scripture where Jesus is on it. You'll never find a situation where something doesn't happen. Every time Jesus walks into a story, you know something's about to happen. There was never a story, a situation, or a person that he wasn't powerful enough to bring change in their life. Sometimes we're going through things. We're like, God, why won't you do this? Pastor Esther just shared it. Now, I knew that testimony. I saw that testimony on Planet Shakers News yesterday. I was just weeping. But sometimes we can be stuck in our situation for years, maybe 10 years, and we go, God, why can't you move? And we can begin to make up a theology that, well, maybe there's some situations in life that are just too big for God. You would think that if that was part of God's plan and part of God's power or lack thereof, there would at least be one story in the Bible where that was real. But never on any page do you see Jesus show up to a situation and he goes, oh, yeah, that's a bit big for me. I'll see you tomorrow. Never ever does he walk into a funeral and go, oh, wow, death, that's a bit big for me. Never does he walk into a demon-possessed man's situation and go, oh, there's too many of them there. There's just one of me. I might just go over here. Never once do we find Jesus not able to heal. Friend, doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what we face. Doesn't matter what may happen in our life. We have a God that is able. We have a God that is all-powerful. He can do anything. And Jesus shows up in this story. And this man who would rage at anyone and lash out at anyone runs towards Jesus, but he does not run in rage. He runs and encounters the Savior and falls on his face. See, because every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And where he would run in rage at other people, he ran to worship his Savior. And what happened is there was this encounter that happened as this man and the enemy inside him began to encounter the sovereignty of Christ. I love that. That even with all that the enemy meant for harm, he could not stand in the presence of Jesus. And what happens is he replies, Jesus says, what's your name? And the enemy inside this man says, I'm Legion. Now, the world that they lived in that time was under Roman rule. Roman armies had these units called legions. It was the biggest unit of war, a group of soldiers called a legion of soldiers. Now, history is confused of how many were exactly in that legion. Some say 500, some say 6,000, some say 12,000. Doesn't matter. Let's just go with 500. That's a lot of things inside one man. 500, my gosh. And so here was Jesus encountering a legion full of the enemy inside this man. And what happens is they beg him, don't let us leave this region. And so Jesus casts them out into the pig. Now, this in itself is a defining part of the story. Why did these Jewish herdsmen standing nearby have pigs? Because it was unclean for a Jew to come into contact with a pig. So not only why were they contacting these pigs, but why were they raising them? What were they going to do with them? So clearly this is a defining point in this story, because not is it just weird that the herdsmen were coming into contact with these pigs, but it showed the state of their society, that the entire community was so backslidden and so far away from God that they were willing to have this a part of their life, because that's how far away from God they were. So the enemy got thrown into these pigs and the entire herd of them. But then what happens next just blows my mind. People come out from the communities all around to see what had happened. And they saw 2,000 of these unclean animals drowned. And they saw one man who was in his right mind completely set free and healed and delivered. What a miracle. And they got angry with Jesus. And they showed us by their actions, they sent Jesus away because they were so upset about what had happened to their pigs. They were so afraid of his power. And he was this friend, he was this family member that was now healed and set free and in his right mind. And they would have preferred the pigs and still had him crazy rather than lose the pigs and have this person that they must have been close with at some point in time healed and of their right mind. They chose the pigs over a man. How backslidden must they have been? How far away from God must they have found themselves to choose a group of dirty animals over a human being? And so Jesus has this encounter with them. They beg him to go. And the freedman asks Jesus. He says, Jesus, I want to go where you're going. Now this is what we preach in church every week, isn't it? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. And this man wants to follow Jesus. Jesus says, no. What do you mean? Aren't we meant to follow you, Jesus? No. See, in life sometimes we want to follow Jesus where we want to go. Jesus, I want to go there with you. Jesus, I want to go there with you. Jesus, I want to go there with you. Jesus says, I need you to stay here with me. See, sometimes in life we want to go where we want to go, and Jesus says, no, you need to stay. Jesus was telling this man to stay with the group of people who chose pigs over him. He was asking this man to stay in his place of pain. Stay with the people who hurt you. Stay with the people who rejected you. Stay with the people who cast you out. This is where I want you to stay. Crazy. And so they have this encounter and Jesus tells him to stay, but Jesus just doesn't tell him to stay. He gives him a commission and says in verse 19 of what we just read, he said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything that God has done for you and how merciful he has been. So what did he do? Did he ignore Jesus and jump in the boat anyway? Did he go home and sulk and get upset with Jesus? I didn't get to go where I wanted to go. Did he go home and just do nothing? No. Very next verse tells us, it says, so the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to do exactly what Jesus said to do, proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. Now, this story that we read this morning, it's found in the book of Mark. It's also found in the book of Luke, the same story. And one of the things that happens in both books right after Jesus has this encounter with this man is he pulls the 12 disciples together and also starts sending them out. He said, I want you to go. I want you to go. I want you to go. He sends them out two by two. And then another chapter later in both books, Mark and Luke, he gathers more people together. He gets 72 people together. He says, now I want you to go out. He's sending them out, sending them out, sending them out two by two. What is he sending them out for? It says this in Luke 10 verse 1. It says, now the Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. And these were his instructions. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. What was Jesus doing with this one man, with the 12, and with the 72? He was saying, take the encounter that you've had with me and go and take that encounter wherever I send you. Take what I've done in your life. Take the testimony of what I've done in your life and go and help deliver people, save people, heal people, set people free. That's what I want you to do. I'm sending you out to go and proclaim what I've done in your life. It was that simple. And what happened? I love this story. What happened? What happened with the one, with the 12, with the 72? Let's go back to the one. The one man that was set free from these demons. It says this in Mark chapter 6. Verse 53, it said, after they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. They brought the boat to shore. Now, this is the same place where Jesus had this encounter with the demon-possessed man. This is the same place where the people told him to get out of there because they were afraid of his power. This is the same place where people chose pigs over a man. The same place that had rejected this man and rejected Jesus. Just two chapters later, I don't know exactly how much time that is, but I can't imagine it would have been more than a couple of months. Not very long at all. This short period of time, what happened? It said, verse 54, Jesus climbed out. The people recognized him at once. They recognized him straight away. And they ran throughout the whole area, not telling him to go away and getting people to reject him. They were carrying the sick people on mats to wherever they heard Jesus was. Wherever he went, in villages, cities, or the countryside, they brought the sick out to the marketplaces. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. And everyone who touched him were healed. What happened? What happened in two chapters? What happened in this short period of time? They went from rejecting him to accepting him. They went from sending him away to begging him to stay. What happened was one man, one person with one encounter with Jesus. He was the difference. He was the one that stayed there and just began to testify and just began to tell you, you got to hear what Jesus has done in my life. You got to see what happened. Everyone knew who Jesus was when he came back. Everyone went out to meet him because one person stayed and told people about Jesus. I think this is amazing. Scott, you can come. He had had one encounter with Jesus. He'd never done DNA, never done eternity course, never done Bible college. He just had an encounter. Now understand me. Don't hear what I'm not saying. DNA is important. Eternity is important. Bible college is important. But these things of discipleship do not qualify us to tell people about Jesus. These things of discipleship are so important to help grow us, keep us progressing, keep us moving in life where God wants us to go. But never ever are they meant to qualify us to tell someone about Jesus. You can go and do a PhD at Bible college. That is not what qualifies you to tell people about God. You can get more degrees than a thermometer has. Doesn't qualify you. What qualifies you is the encounter you have with Jesus. If you want to keep growing, if you want to keep advancing, if you want to keep progressing, you've got to be a disciple. But as soon as you have an encounter with Jesus, you're ready to go. You're ready to go and tell people what he's done in your life. This one man changed the atmosphere of 10 cities from one of being closed to Jesus to being open to him, from one of rejecting him to accepting him. One person changed 10 cities. One person. I was reading into the theology of this last night. I was like, Jesus and these demons have this strange exchange. I don't know if you've ever thought that. Why is Jesus even talking to these demons? He could just say, get out of here. And they begged him. They said, do not let us leave this region. For some reason, Jesus granted their request. He allowed these demons to have what they wanted. And I thought, why would that be? And so Jesus sent them into the pigs, but still in the same region. And I was reading about this. I was praying about this too. I didn't actually read this. I was just praying about this. And it made me think of when the Israelites were taking the promised land. God didn't just go in, God could have, but God didn't just go in there with his power and drive out the enemy. God said to the Israelites, no, you need to possess this land bit by bit by bit. If I gave it to you all at once, you wouldn't know how to handle it. But if you would possess it and have victory day after day, you will know how to own this land. And so there was a region where these demonic forces were just used to operating. They knew the proclivities of these people. They knew the temptations of these people. They knew how to get them. Jesus said, sure, you can stay in the region. But Jesus left one man there. One man with one message, with an encounter with Jesus, was enough to begin to change the atmosphere. Everywhere he went, he began to testify, talk about the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter what force you're up against, when you have the name of Jesus, everywhere your foot treads is your inheritance. He went anointed. He went appointed. He went with a word in his mouth, and he began to change town after town after town, city after city after city. And it started with one man, but it ended with 10 cities. And where the people had a proclivity for the enemy, all of a sudden they had a proclivity for Jesus. All of a sudden they were receptive to Jesus. He changed the atmosphere and the environment of that entire place. It doesn't matter if it's just one of you going to where you're going in Papua New Guinea. Doesn't matter if it's one of you going into your workplace in Melbourne. Doesn't matter if it's just one of you going into a broken family situation. Doesn't matter if it's just one of you in your community. One person, one name, one message, one word, one testimony. You can change atmospheres. You can change the spirit of a place. You can change environments when you are Jesus on your side. In this room, I'd invite us if we could stand to our feet. I've told you what happened when the one man came back. Can I tell you what happened with the 72? I like reading this in the Message version. It says this in Luke 10. It said, the 70 came back triumphant. I love this. It said, Master, even the demons dance to your tune. Love it. Verse 18, Jesus said, I know. I saw Satan fall as a bolt of lightning out of the sky. See, what I've given you is safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions, protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. All the same, the great triumph is not about your authority over evil. It's God's authority over you and God's presence with you. It's not about what you do for God, but about what God does for you. That is the agenda for rejoicing. You see, when we are sent out, we're not sent out because we have authority over the enemy. We are sent out because God has authority over me. And the greatest thing is, God has authority over me, which gives me authority over any place I walked into. But also, God sends us with His presence. God's authority over us and God's presence with us. We never go alone. We go with Him. And there are two parts, really, there are two parts to today's message. Maybe today you can relate to this crazy man. We'd probably never tell anyone we can relate to this crazy man, but as messed up as he was on the outside, we can relate on the inside. And like the enemy isolated him and hurt him and tried to bind him up, sometimes in our heart we can find ourselves isolated. We can find ourselves hurt and bound up. And for some of us in this room today, you know the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's like, hey, come on, friend. Whatever happened was probably very real to you. It's probably very real in all reality, but whatever happens, sometimes people go through hurts, and I never want to trivialize the situation you've been through. I just want to maximize the God that we serve. And sometimes we isolate ourselves because of what we go through. Hey, come on, today. Today's your day. God wants to heal you. And maybe like this man, you need that encounter with Jesus, one encounter, and he was set free. But for all of us, the other part, that's for all of us. The other part of today's message, whether you're going to Papua New Guinea or not, by the way, there are people going to Papua New Guinea, and this is a great word. Wherever you go, wherever your foot tread, you're going with the power and the presence of God, and God's authority over you means wherever you stand, you've got the Savior of the world with you. You got the power of Jesus with you. Ain't no weapon formed against you can prosper. Hey! But just because if you're not going to Papua New Guinea, doesn't mean this doesn't apply. We've got this incredible city that we get to live in every day, day after day, that we get this opportunity to take the love of Christ with us. And when we are set free, when we encounter Him, we become someone with something to share. You see, when the power of Jesus comes into a place, nothing can stand against that. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He has called you to be more than a conqueror. The Bible promises us that when we're with Him, nothing is impossible. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And I want to stir us up. I just keep praying every prayer meeting I'm in for the last couple of weeks. I just keep praying the same thing. No weapon formed against you can prosper. No doubt the enemy didn't want this man to influence 10 cities. But there he was. And one encounter with Jesus. God's authority over him. God's presence with him. Changed 10 cities. I get so blessed. I remember listening to the testimony on Planet Shakers News of Nella talking about, just one of our incredible urban life coaches with her husband Sebastian, talking about the friends that she invited to Beautiful Woman. It was just on there a couple of weeks ago. Just always seeing who she can invite, who she can bring into an encounter with Jesus. This man was never trained in preaching. This man was never trained or qualified, but he had a story to tell. He had a testimony to tell. And the difference that he made just from telling his story. Friend, this week I wonder whose life you could change by telling him your story. What difference you could make by telling your testimony. 10 suburbs that you could influence, or the 10 communities that you could change. I know it sounds far-fetched. This was one man with one encounter. That's not far-fetched. That's the power of Jesus.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message today. You know, no matter how many encounters we've had with Jesus, just one encounter, we got something to share. We got something to tell people about. I want to encourage you this week. Come on, why don't you testify to someone in your world? Also, we'd love to stay in touch with you. Come and follow us on all the social media platforms at Planet Shakers. And also, we got some new music out on iTunes, out on Google Play. You can check it out today. It's our legacy album. I believe it's going to help resource you and help equip you to encounter Jesus wherever you are. We love you. Be blessed. See you real soon.